Don't want to forget that. So once again, this study of faith, main reason why we must do it is because you'd be surprised how many people, and we don't do it just with faith. We do it with love. We do it with peace. We do it with a lot of things that we're supposed to have in our walk. And we've allowed ourselves and Satan to give us the title of it, but changed his definition. I've heard people even use spirituality. We use that in such a weird way. And I'm being spiritual, or I had faith about this, or even prayer, in which we've distorted it. But we think since we're just doing what that name is, we go with it. Love is the worst one of them all, in which we use love incorrectly. So as we go through this, we're getting to see what God explains and describes to us when we talk about faith as we go through our review. First, I don't have my reviews page up, so I'm just going to go down with this. We've seen that we're going to go through the faith highlight. That's Hebrews 11. That's a big part of this. And then we say, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And that's the question. Is he going to find faith? We see that God created the universe. We understand that, not through science, not through what somebody told us, but through faith. We got to see different types of how faith was used. Abraham went into an unknown land. We've seen that Moses chose mistreatment over pleasure due through faith. Israelites passed through the Red Sea, and that only worked because of faith. Faith, true faith, is our justification in God as well as our access to grace. When I mean justification, without being justified, we're still headed to hell. And because we have faith in what Christ did, that's how we're justified. And then we gain grace. Once again, a gift, unmerited gift that we're getting, that because of Christ, we get to receive. And all that is through faith. You can't just apply faith randomly. You must live it. You have to live by faith. Faith is a lifestyle. I think too many times we think it's just something I have at times, but you're going to live by it. That's why it says we live by faith, not by sight. And he says a righteousness that is by faith, the righteous will live by faith. So then we dove into faith described. So we're going to get the elements and the definition of what faith is. And we're seeing it's being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, that's just the definition of faith. All right, that's saying it's my proof and my reason. It's everything in it. It's my reason for believing in God and my proof, right? I don't need somebody to prove it to me. And I think we have too many people today who are trying to get into debates and arguments, but he's saying, no. That'll eliminate faith. That'll give you proof. It's not faith. Faith is we're accepting what he says here. True Christian faith is based on God. So we have that faith of being sure and certain in God. Okay? And faith in God means on God's terms. It doesn't just mean I believe in God based on me. That means that's when I pray for something, I expect him to give to me how I want it, the way I think it. That's wrong. That's not the faith he's talking about. He then describes what that means. Ask him because he said so. He may say no, and I'm rejoicing because he said so. It's all about him and how he says he's going to do something. And that's where we last left off. And if you remember, he says, you want something, but don't get it. You don't have because you don't ask God. You do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. Person who has faith gets that. They grasp all of that. If I don't have faith, like I said, you'll hear me let down due to somebody else's definition of faith. I've seen some people really harm. They even tried to do it with my wife and I when our son passed away. But it's the part of the frustration was how people were doing. These were Christians, and they immediately said, oh, because you didn't have enough faith. Instead of saying, well, maybe my definition is flawed, or maybe I don't understand something, they wanted to speak with authority, but they were speaking wrong. And if we are weak enough, I don't know how they would have to answer to God. And you still have people today that, in the name of looking more spiritual, they'll say some ignorant things instead of recognizing, wait, I better understand this. This is a lot more sensitive than what I think. So we really have to recognize this. Now, Christ must be our example because he wrote the book on faith and lived it perfectly. You have a lot of people through other studies and listening to other people's experiences that have written books. Okay, and like I said, you have coaches that probably never played the sport, but they're called an expert in it. The difference here is we have Christ who wrote the book on it. He is the Word, and then he came down and lived it perfectly, and he took off his glory. So that means he was still God, but he took off that glory of God in order to be all man. And it says in Hebrews 12, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And then it shows he's the author, because he wrote the book on it, and perfecter of our faith. And he did it perfectly. So the New Testament, especially starting from the Gospels, because Gospels explain it, then we get to see what he did throughout the New Testament, shows how he's taken that and he perfected it. Hey, sis.
Hello. I just want to make sure I understand when you say he took off his glory. I know I've heard it before, but I can't really remember what it means.
Okay. What it means, in fact, to show you, so it's not just coming from me. Look at a word to find the verse. This is one of them, and there's another verse here. The one verse I'm talking about is Hebrews 4:15. And I'll read that, but you can go ahead and write that down and come back to it. But it says, let me see if it's even a little further. But it says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. That's one, but there's one where it actually explains. I have to find it. Let me find it. But there's a verse where it explains he was man just like us. And it had to be that way for him to be. And when I say even just like us, it was more like Adam. You know what I mean? Adam came directly from God, but was made from the earth. Okay. And Jesus, who was made from the Holy Spirit, but came from Eve. Not Eve, I'm sorry, Mary. So we understand it was a do-over. That's why he's called the second Adam in Romans 15, or in Romans somewhere, but I think it's Romans 15, where it lets us know he was made just like that to do that do-over where Adam failed. Okay? He lived the way he needed to, and then he didn't start the true ministry that we know of until he was 30. So from, you know, when he was born until the age of 30, we don't hear much of that story, but even in that, he had to be perfect. But there is a verse that made just like us. And I wish I could remember it. If anybody finds it, say it or whatever on it. But yeah, that's, yeah, I'm going to have to look for it. But that's the key. There's a verse that says he basically was us. So in order to be us, his power and everything he did had to come through God, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? That's why he says, I do exactly what my Father tells me, right? He had to live as us, answering to God. And that's why it says in 1 Corinthians 11:3, I want you to realize the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is man, the head of Christ is God. All of that was done so he was put in our place. But there's a verse that even clearly says he was made just like us.
Is that Philippians 2:7 or no?
I hope so. Let's go there. Philippians 2:7.
Yes, it's Philippians 2:7.
Excellent. 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 Somebody want to read that?
Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness.
Perfect. But do you see that? Okay. Yeah. So all of his glory was gone. I think what some people struggle and just think he was still God, but God chosen to be all man. So because what some people started saying was, we can't do what he did because he was just God. Of course he went through everything we went through, but he's God. And that's how people tried to explain it. But no, the difference was God took off God in order to be man. And in that, he went through everything. That's what when the verse said he was tempted in every way just like us, but he did not sin. So he went through everything that anybody could have gone through in whatever way that worked, but he did not sin. So he, like I said, being in our place, he justified that. So hopefully that helped.
Yep, it does. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you all for finding that. But as we see, like I said, he's the author and perfecter of it. Okay. He wrote the book on it and it's made for us. Man could have, if we just follow God. No, I can't live a perfect life without God. I think the whole story of the Bible, or I know the whole story of the Bible, is saying we are absolutely nothing without God, right? That's all Adam and Eve had to do was what God said. He said, do not eat off the tree. All they had to say was, no, you know, I don't care how much Satan was going there and convincing. And we still do that today. Look at the stuff we're doing and how we convince ourselves to live a certain ways, follow certain people, do certain things, instead of, no, the Bible says. You understand? And leave it at that. If my father doesn't tell me to do it, I'm not doing it. We sit down and we reason and we go through all this other stuff. And that shows a lack of faith. That is called doubt. But he was the author and perfecter of our faith. And it says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. And what does that mean? He went through one of the most, if not the most horrendous thing a person can go through. You understand that, of taking on everybody's sin, basically taking the punishment and all of that stuff for what everybody else did. But what did he keep focusing on? Being with God the Father. That was his whole focus. I know we would love to have times down here that feel good, that seem good, that are, you know, that we enjoy. You know what I mean? But sometimes we allow that to make us fall away. You know, we complain about the time here, and it's only temporary, but when we focus on Christ, and especially his return, that's what our hope is in, it would help us to get through it. That's faith, right? I do exactly what he said instead of reasoning why I can't or even getting mad at him because he didn't do what I think he should do, but, you know, we still allow that. That's why I say it's scorning its shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, because he did it for the joy set before him. His focus was 100%, I'm going to be with the Father. I'm going to go through this horrendous thing. It's going to hurt. I'm going to have a hard time. But my focus and my goal is to be with the Father. And he's going to stay focused on that. So understand, you cannot be a Christian without faith. And Hebrews 11, 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, the problem is, and we're going to see how to get faith later. But so I'm jumping ahead, but just to kind of to explain this, you know, faith comes from hearing and from the word of God. So you have a lot of people who don't read their Bible, who don't go to church, but they'll insist they have faith and they'll insist they're Christians. While he just said, no, it's impossible. So if he's telling me in order for me to gain and get that faith is through hearing the word, and or we'll go to a feel good church and we'll hear them give a word, but it's not the word. Remember, faith comes from hearing from the word of God. I'm going to go over that again later. But he's saying it's impossible then to be a Christian if I'm not getting the word. Not as deep, but we tend to fall into that going through the motions. You know what I mean? And that's why many are going to say, Lord, Lord, because they're just going through the motions, thinking they're checking off a box and, okay, I'm Christian, you know, let it go that way. And then we even went as far as to say, as long as you say these words, you're in, and nothing you could do to get out. It just made us feel better instead of us reverently checking that we are. So it is impossible to please God. And he says, because anyone who comes to him, first of all, must believe that he exists. And it's not a Bigfoot believing he exists. You know what I mean? Some of us just in our minds, it's going to be how I live. Because remember, belief is my faith in action. It's nothing wrong. I mean, I think everybody can say I believe in God. It's going to be those that live it. And what does it mean when I live believing in God, when I live my faith? The things that he says will apply in how I am with my family, how I am with my finances, how I am against my enemies, how I am. Do you see where I'm going? When you see me respond the way he says, that's belief. And that's why he says we must believe that he exists. That's why he's saying, will I find faith on earth? Because we'll be living what he says or we won't. And we're looking forward to this, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And remember, by faith, allow me to know there's nothing wrong with looking forward to his rewards. When we try to use human humility sometimes, we'll go, no, God, I just want to do it to be a good person. That sounds great. But remember, be careful sometimes when we as humans try to out, you know, overdo it. You know, there's a verse in Ecclesiastes saying, do not be overrighteous. Why destroy yourself? And you have some that will read something God will say, and they'll try to even go higher. And that's what he had to keep showing Peter. We may overdo it. He wants you to look forward to rewards. He wants you to live to get all of the rewards. You know what I mean? That's part of faith. And we earnestly seek him. How many times when we don't get it, we're done? Or we'll make up something. Or we look for an easy way to get it. He didn't make it very easy to understand. He made it possible to understand. And he wants those who earnestly seek him. They're going out of their way. They're making sure they're, you see that effort in every aspect of their life of getting and applying God, not somebody just going through the motions. And yeah, it sounds like more. No, it's not works. Do you understand this? And please don't get caught up in that. No, through grace, I don't have to. You're gaining that grace by showing and accepting it. It's going to be the evidence that I've accepted that grace through faith if I'm earnestly seeking him, right? If not, I'll accept anybody's definition of faith, and then I just go my way and ignore the verses where he says, this will not go to heaven, this group will not go, so on and so forth. Now, understand the lack of faith hinders Jesus. That's how powerful when you don't have faith. And this is one reason we don't see as many miracles today. We don't recognize certain things. Me and Brother Chris were talking about a while back when in the Old Testament, they knew, I mean, in fact, the New Testament, they knew when somebody was possessed versus when a person was, mentally ill. Today, we just see him as mentally ill because we start accepting what the doctors and the experts and all that say. And then we allowed experts to come into the church and start saying, well, God couldn't have meant that. And then they'll hit you with some big words and we're in awe instead of going, that's not what it says. And we have the ability to look at it and go, I hear what you're saying, but I don't see that here. And that's what we're supposed to. But when we lack faith, and that's what they want to do when they want to give you intelligence, when they want to give you emotion, when they want to give you culture, that's lacking faith because you're leaning on something else in its place. He says, Matthew 13, 58, and he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. The places you're going to see that mostly are from the most comfortable people. From the most, we just went over warning to the rich and how, especially here in our country, we're very comfortable. And to truly live by faith means we have to give up stuff. We have to love people. We have to follow what God says. We have to share. We don't like doing that. We don't. We like doing it our way, getting credit for it, looking like heroes, and not realizing we are so comfortable, you just don't see it. You only can depend on some stories here or there, and we're just surrounded by the lack of faith. And we have to have faith, or it even hinders him in our lives. Now, Christ works through our faith. Okay? The main way he deals with us, he doesn't just force it. It's that avenue that allows him to work for us. That's the pattern how God set it up. Okay? Of course, he can do all things, but this is how he set it up, that in order for him to work in my life, I have to create that tunnel of faith for him to do it in my life. So we see in Matthew 9, 20 through 22, he says, just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. Okay. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. Now, the significance behind it, we made songs about this and not realizing she realized so much of who he is that all I need to do is touch his cloak. Like you see today, and that's how churches get a ton of money out of people and make people do some crazy things because they want to force you to prove. But faith is understanding who he is, right? And she's like, this is Christ. All I have to do is touch the, hem of his garment, right? And she said, if I only could touch his cloak, I will be healed. And verse 22 says, Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said, your faith has healed you. Incredible, because she knew who he was. That's the first thing where the Jews failed. They didn't recognize who he was. And what was so bad for them is because they had the Old Testament, and the Old Testament kept pointing to him. But in the same way, Christians can be in the same trouble if we don't allow the Bible to point towards him. Today, we have a lot of things that describe Christianity and Christ, not realizing those things, a lot of it comes from man, and we put more emphasis on that than we do on what he says. And are we going to recognize the end times and what to do and how this goes? And you can tell people don't. We take a piece here and there, and you have so many people today who want to say the end of the world is tomorrow, the rapture is going to happen at this time. And we have answers in the Bible which gives us, no, that can't happen. And we still bypass it. You know what I mean? I've heard so many stories on who the man of sin is. It's ridiculous, but we only do it because we're trying to do it through knowledge and our homework and listening to people instead of solidly looking at what the word says and getting a strong understanding of it. So when he says your faith has healed you, it's going to be the same thing in our walk. right? He's going to allow things happen. We see the economy and sicknesses and things happening right now. We could pray for that to change back. That's why people still put emphasis on government. The government's going to fix it. That's a lack of faith. I hate to say it, but it is. You know what I mean? When I am looking at him, he's going to allow different governments to come in. So, I mean, you have to put it in. Some of the worst governments, he allowed. Some of the more desirable for people to governments, he allowed. But all of it wasn't being mean or God didn't know what he was doing or playing a game with us. Remember, our entire lives are built upon his mercy. So we're protected as long as we have faith. And protected in the way that he explains, we're protected. So her faith healed her because she had a true belief in him. And as others, you know, wanted to probably access him in their way, or they're ignoring him, or they wanted him to prove themselves, she just said, all I need to do is touch here, I'm going to be healed, then I'm going to leave. You understand that? She didn't need to have what we overdo it sometimes. You know, and the Bible gives us what we need. And it says, and the woman was healed from that moment. Jesus explains the power of true faith. Matthew 17, 20, he replied, because you have so little faith, remember I'm talking about this, we have that today. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, there was a whole book, and then I heard a podcast, and I don't even know if it was called a podcast because it was years ago when I first heard it, but I heard people have this discussion. So if I have faith, I should be able to go out and tell a mountain to move. The answer is yes, if it's his will. Part of our faith is doing it when we're expected to do it. He's not saying just go out there and because you have faith, you'll be Superman and do anything you want. Right there is showing a lack of faith. Remember, it's faith in God. So what he's saying here is, I'll have you do something because remember, for that little bit of time, which we're going to see, well, we're going to see it in a little bit. We're going to see the example of it. But the key to this is we just take him and then want to go out and do miracles and go out and do great things. And that's why people get caught up into what sensationalism of they'll say my faith did this. You'll hear some ministers tell some of these stories that they did some wonderful. And I'm not saying they didn't, but you don't necessarily see it. And sometimes people will claim to see it when they didn't see it because they just want this so bad. But we're lacking faith because we're not realizing he's not just talking about moving the mountain. He's talking about the ability you have if you have faith. That means when he commands, I know we have the ability to do as long as we have faith. That's what he's letting us know. He says, nothing will be impossible to you. You won't tell God, well, I can't do that. You'll be depending on his faith. And that's why I have here, remember, for it to be faith, it has to be what God wants. Not me just running outside doing stuff. Okay? Faith is based on him. So it's going to be based on his will. So if he tells me do something and I'm going to have to move a mountain, I'll have the ability. Now, he's not saying, Keith, just go outside and move mountains and prove to everybody you have faith. Then we're confused on faith. Hopefully y'all get that because too many times we'll take something. And this is really taking it out of context, and people will be confused. So, what diminishes faith is doubt. Okay. So, even though he says you just need a little bit of faith to do some most powerful things, I know some of us say, well, I know I at least have to have a little bit of faith. Yeah, you do. But you also have a whole lot of doubt. And doubt, let me be clear, is not that feeling you get. That's the flesh, that's a desire. Just like we explained in desire, I may have a desire to do something, but it's not a sin until I do it. Everybody get that, okay? Significant that you have to grasp that part of it because we think doubt is me feeling. I don't think this is going to work. That's the feeling, right? That's the flesh. But even when I continue to do it despite how I feel, right? That's faith. Because faith even goes against what I feel, because my feeling is flesh. What he says, and I do it, the obedience is faith. All right? So when he shows in Matthew 21, 21, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, and it is an and, even in translation, you have to have faith and do not doubt, not that feeling. So that means I'm going to do what he says, not with some outside cushion. Right? This is why. Going back to when we said our warnings to the rich, he's not beating up the rich because they gave out of their wealth. He's saying, majority will give because they're comfortable with what they have. Think about that. So did you really give in the way he intended? Because remember, me giving is showing that he's my provider, right? But if I give a large sum because I even have a larger sum here, I'm still depending on that as my provider. I just gave money to make myself feel better. There's a process in realizing you are my provider. But if I'm giving out of my comfort, and that's why if we follow the process of tithing, not, and we don't tithe today, we grace give, and that's between you and God because we fully live by faith. But if I don't give it, understand what he, what it was a shadow of, right? Tithing gave 10%. So it now was dependent on what you had, on what you're going to give. It really made things fair because today we don't. Now we got a lot of these rich people that are, I mean, they're doomed for hell either which way, and they're still taking over countries and stuff like that. And instead of us, you know, shaking our heads and helping the poor, we want to be them, not realizing it's dooming us because it is a boatload of doubt. Okay, but like you said, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to this fig tree, and let's remember when it didn't have figs, and he said the word and it died, and it will never. You know, give figs again. He says, but also you can say to this mountain, once again, like it was shown up here, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. He was like, you'll be able to do anything that I expect you to do. We'll just go do it, right? We'll just follow it because we know we can do it. But if I'll go just in case, you know what I mean? What if Abraham would have gone just in case he doesn't? And I mean, he might have felt that, but if his any of his actions showed that, that would have been doubt. That would he went all the way to the point where he lifted the knife to where God got him. He didn't say, you came all this way, I know you're going to do it. He went all the way to the point where he was going to do it. His actions, right, were the part in it. So don't get confused on how you feel. Here's an example of how that faith doubt process works. Example of faith canceling out doubt in Matthew 14, 27 through 31. It says, but Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. So when they saw him on the water, when he's walking on the water, at first they were scared and all this other stuff. He says, don't be afraid. Lord, now watch this. If it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. First beautiful thing of faith. Remember I said, only if he says so. See, Peter could have done what so many people do. I have faith and I'm going to go walk on water. He tell you to do it? You see where we're going with that? He says, so he first asked him, and that's where we go to God's word on what I can and what I'm supposed to do, so on and so forth, and with the individual will that I have to know through no longer conforming to the world but transforming, then I'll know his will for my individual things. Then I'll respond on what he wants me to do, okay? And he says, tell me, come walk on the water. Jesus said, come. Now there's the obedience. He said, then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on water. If we stopped it there, that is a beautiful example of faith. His action was put into play. He was doing what he needed to. He says, walked on water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw, there's the sight. He went away from Jesus saying, come, seeing Jesus there. Remember Jesus, who for the joy set before him? Remember that, right? If he would have just focused on Jesus, he wouldn't have looked around and said, man, this water, I really can't swim. I think there's a tornado or maybe a hurricane coming. You know what I mean? None of that would have came. And even if he had just the thought of it, and this is why the afraid is implying he reacted some way. This is when he saw the wind, he was afraid. So in other words, he became and he reacted and then it caused him to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me, right? And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said. But then he showed why. Why did you doubt? Right? And the answer is because he saw. And this was killing us today. We see. And Satan is allowed, him being the ruler and prince of the air here on earth, and he deals with those who are obedient, he can put stuff in your life to make you give God credit for stuff God doesn't want credit for because it stimulates our senses. So then we turn God into something to stimulate our senses instead of us living despite them, recognizing they exist, but they never determine what we do. That's going to be faith. But the minute I allow something I see and whatever, this is why sometimes the stories that can really harm us are when somebody gives a testimony of, I did this, this, and this, and this happened to me. Now we're going, amen, praise God. Then we do it and we don't get the same outcome, right? Now the person that goes still praise God because they're praising that they did what God said. That's it. They're glorifying, I did what my father told. Others are going by sight. I did it because I saw what he got. Why am I not getting it? So, was there any faith? Focus on your life. What are you trying? Who are you trying to please? And that's what it's showing, how our faith comes into play. So hopefully we see that, how doubt plays. Doubt is going to be an action, it's going to be a response in reverse to what he says. And he will allow stuff to happen in life to make me doubt and not do. Right? Many of us, once again, say we are Christians and we still treat our enemies like garbage. I watch people who are part of different parties and groups, and the way they talk about the other ones they claim to be their enemies already shows they doubt. I don't hear love in that conversation. When they force people and do things based on what they think of somebody, once again, doubt. If I do anything to harm you, doubt. All of these things are sins and doubt, and it just eliminates our faith. Pay close attention how we do that. Now, the church service is purposed with bringing the body together as one in faith. So even though a measure of my faith is different, the purpose of faith is the same, and it all has to be one faith. That's why in many cases you're going to see it's called the faith. Okay, there's other faiths out there, but we have the faith. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. So he's saying, I made those levels of the ministries in order to give the church, those in the church, what they need. Now remember, like I've said before, when we go out into the world, as Christians, we're to minister to people, and then as they grow to accept, then they come to church. What some tend to do, and it's more of a lazy approach, is I'm not growing as a Christian, but I'll tell somebody, hey, come to my church. Okay? I'm not saying not to do that, but a lot of times they're going to come there and they're going to get a lot of pearls to swine. They're not going to understand it because you didn't do your part. What is my part? Well, that's what church is supposed to do. He says to prepare God's people. Did y'all catch that? Because all of those are church leaders. And what's their job? To prepare God's people for works of service, right? So that the body of Christ may be built up. And this is when he says we'll be able to do better things than he does. We are to make up one body, not a Superman in Christ. Right? There is no Superman in Christ. We build up the Superman, which is Christ, to build up the body of Christ, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith. And here's where denominations have really destroyed that. Denominations should not have been meant to separate us the way they do. You go to different denominations, and they're not doing disputable things, you know, just some differences here and there. They're actually seeing Christ differently and saying, I want to be accepted. I told you one time I've really seen is when the Promise Keepers existed, and I would go to that, and I would hear the people speak, and you heard multiple versions of Jesus, but they would always say, what's one thing we all have in common? Everybody say Jesus, and they go, ah. And it's like, no. Why? Because you weren't speaking of Jesus. You were speaking of something. You were speaking of something, and you were calling all of that Jesus. But that's not what was in the word. Some of the stuff, a lot of stuff that was being preached. And it was disturbing because we weren't one in faith, right? We were kind of, hey, can I have Jesus be this way? And you just accept me. And everybody's like, sure. If it's not Jesus, it's not Jesus. Can't make him a personal, enjoyable thing. That's why I remember, you know, when we do communion, we always go over 1 Corinthians 11 as a warning to understand, you know, the sacredness of taking that holy sacrament in the sense that we're, you know, praising him and honoring him on that time to come. You don't know how many times I've had people that wanted to bring their kids and they said, I would like my child to experience. They went emotional on something that is dangerous if you don't know what you're doing. Do you understand that? Okay. And we still do that today. We like emotional moments. Christmas is coming around and we like the feeling of it when it benefits us. When it benefits us. I hate to say it, it doesn't feel that same way to everybody. Okay. Everybody doesn't have the access to that same feeling. But we love emotion and then we automatically equate that to, being godly. So, in the same way, we need to get all into the same faith, then we'd react to everything the same way. It says unity in the faith and also and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Okay. The second thing, knowledge, which comes from the Greek word gnosis or gnosis, the GN is gnosis, the N sound, which means an intimate relationship. Okay. And so that we all come in the knowledge of the Son of God, that we truly know Christ. Because, like I said, we have these different forms of Christ, which is not Christ. How do you know that? You can go on God's word. God's like, I didn't say that, right? I didn't tell you to do that. And become mature. And maturity is non-existent today. We'll become saved and we stop. Why? Lack of faith. Whole lot of doubt. Our goals are usually physical things. We'll strive for our children to be worldly successful and give them a little bit in order to be godly. Watch our household. Watch how we'll make rules in order for them to enjoy being a teenager, not to be excluded, not to feel a certain way, but we don't put any effort in really for them to be godly. We're hoping they find it later on, and we fail when we do that. So the mature, and then he says, watch this, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What does that mean? That we may become the actual body. You understand that? That we may become, each of us making parts of it, Christ. That's why those who are, and this is where I love technology because it allows us to allow so many people to get on from different parts of our nation. People can get on other ones in different parts of the world. That part's great. But what it has done is made people think, okay, now I'm going to go it alone. And they miss a major element. Okay. When you work out, it's for the body. Okay. You do different, you have leg day, whatever day, so on and so forth, and you strengthen your body. But if you cut off one of the pieces of your body and lay it somewhere and you go work out, that piece is not going to benefit. In fact, it's going to be dead. But you have more people that are going it alone. Right? They're thinking, I'm going to study my Bible. I'm going to listen to church now, and I don't even have to go there. And they're not going to grow because they're doing it wrong. Okay? But this is the whole entire goal. This is what's supposed to happen. This is what the church is responsible for. Okay? And if it works, this is one of those times where he will show what outcome we're looking for. And this is a holy, godly outcome because God says it. He says, then we will be. No longer be infants. That's the first thing. And we got so many babes in Christ. So there's a problem. Tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. What does that mean? You got people that they'll start some ministry, they'll say a few words, and a lot of people will be caught. Man, he's a powerful preacher, this and that. Or did you hear that word? That's all great, is if what you're saying is sound in God's word. People are misled by these quote unquote teachers and these rules that people are making, and we're following nonsense. But if we would have matured, you would know it immediately. Okay, there's a discernment all Christians have based on God's word that you're looking at and go, oh, okay, all right. But you still have Christians that if I said, there were still people who fell in and they really believe they're believers when the rapture is supposed to come, who the man of sin is. Following specific leaders, being part of certain groups, not realizing all of that is this. You're still an infant, tossed back and forth by waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching. And Satan's going to keep trying because we're easy enough to allow it to happen. He says, instead, so this won't happen anymore, but he says, instead, speaking the truth in love. So you'll only hear us speaking what the Bible says. And we'll do it based off of God, who is love. Right? We'll do it in a way that's not harming, that's not going against, that's not dividing. You see what I'm saying? Not just speaking the truth, but speaking the truth in love with the purpose of it pulling everybody in to winning them. the purpose behind it. Not just somebody who just preaches and I'm telling it like it is and all this other nonsense. And then it says, we will in all things grow up into him, who's the head. We realize Christ in his own body even plays a part. He's the head. That's why I'm saying that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It's a process. This is how the whole process of faith is supposed to work. And we're failing because we go to church to be motivated. We go to be feel to feel good. If we even go, we go and not pay attention. We don't hold teachers accountable. All these things are going against what you just read there. And I encourage you, please read it again. Read it over and over. Now we're going to close, but I want to start this section. So we'll just do this here and then we'll close out and then we'll ask you what questions we have. How faith works in our lives. I want to make sure we check our lives. So then when we come back next week, it maybe bring on more questions or it'll just enlighten you on what you need to adjust to in your faith. The scriptures and faith go hand in hand. Recognize that, okay? What's killing us, once again, that doubt is when we read these other books. If I can just keep it interesting, right? Where I can separate and realize it's not in the Bible, so it's not, then praise God. Okay? If you can't, you avoid that other stuff. You got where I'm going with this, okay? When it shows that we get faith from God's word, Romans 10, 17. Consequently, faith comes from the hearing, from hearing the message. That is not just meaning I'm reading it by itself, it's meaning it's being preached to me. Because when he said it was he that made some to be, and he named all those groups, including pastors and teachers, that's our job. You understand that? So there is something in that that I'm supposed to do in my position, and those others who are teaching and fall into that have to do, and you have to receive it. But when it says hearing the message, that's you hearing me preach, but the message is heard through the word of Christ. You better make sure what I'm preaching is from Christ. That's your part. You're now going to go in the Bible and not just go, amen, that was a blessing. You'll go, first, let me check and see if he's sound in this. And you can go, pastor, and I get people that do this, amen, that'll go, pastor, you said this, where can you help me? Amen, right? Don't worry about my feelings because this is your life. Right? You want to make sure what I'm giving you is solidly is sound. And we want to make sure we're showing you that. So that's the first part of it. Okay. You got to hear, but we let life get in the way. And either we don't go to hear, we don't check, or we just don't go at all. Oh, but you better call me a Christian. And then the final part of that is knowledge of scripture should be known early. In 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17, he says, and how from infancy. Infancy, you have known the holy scriptures. Now, parents take sometimes church to be for parents. And I get it. And even in our church, at times when there's not that hold to do this, we'll give them something so they don't become a distraction. However, parenting should put them in a process. Because remember, as I think it's very important to have. Some call it Sunday school, some call it children's church like we do. And they're great. But do y'all know what verse it says, anything about children's church or Sunday school? None. Why? Because it should still be done collectively, right? I think it's a nice extra additive. Praise God when we have them, we feed the kids. But the kids then should be able to sit amongst the parents and still get the word. Then you take them home and you should raise them in how things do based on the word. They're going to hear you say, because God said, make sure you represent God. That's going to stick in them, not religion, but Christianity. And there's a big difference in all what you see when people throw religion at them and not give them Christianity. He says, you have known from infancy, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. See how this works? How am I going to live through that faith that scripture will tell me? Start your children off with that. Then they'll be able to go through anything. What we tend to do is do worldly answers to fix our kids and things. We avoid at times, right? We will teach them how to fight, right? We'll yell at leaders for allowing certain things to happen. Instead of teaching them Christ, it'll make me wise for salvation through faith. And he makes very clear here, because I'm hearing more and more people come on the internet saying the people who wrote the Bible got a lot of it wrong. I'm hearing that's becoming a trend. I don't know if y'all catching that. And then he says, all scripture is God breathed. So yes, all of the people who wrote the Bible were transcriptionists. And what the transcriptionist's job was to just write down exactly what the doctor said. I worked in the hospital all my time, but when I was at the orthopedic park, and I remember they dictated it before we got this electronic one, they would give it back to the doctor to sign off. Is this what you said? So it all comes back to the doctor. So in the same way, he's saying all scripture is from God and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Understand the importance of the word and how it works hand in hand with faith, and then how faith works with the word. Questions?
I got something real quick, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
I think one of the hard, Sister Kellen bring it, I think one of the hard things for people to understand is Jesus fully man, and stripping off his glory. Well, they see him do these miracles, and they're like, well, he's doing the miracles because he's God. Well, that's partly true. So he's not able to do what he would do without full faith in the Father,
Exactly.
because he has full faith in the Father, and the Father has full faith in him, then he's able to do these things being man.
Absolutely.
Because when the young lady went to touch his garment, she did believe who he was, but she had full faith that he's going to heal me. It wasn't a doubtful thing, it was a faith thing that made her heal. So if you pray, and where it says, if you have faith, you can move a mountain. Well, that's true, and Jesus would be able to move a mountain if he needed to do that through the Father. But if you look at most of Jesus's, if not all his miracles were centered on people, individuals, and healing the sick and raising the dead. But like when he was at the house and he was sitting with the sinners and sick, when he told the Pharisees. So that's why most of his miracles you see him doing are centered with people. So without faith with the Father, he wouldn't be able to do the miracles and the things he did. So, and I think that's really hard for people to understand. Well, he's doing all these miracles, so he was still God and whatnot. So then that's not really how it works, or that's how it worked. So
Yep, very well
anyway.
put. No, thank you. I mean, I think every bit of that, when we get that, helps us to grasp it better, because I think a lot of people almost bypass what he did as, oh, of course he did, because he had what you said was dead on. Dead on. I mean, he even said we never got to hear how he felt about things. Remember, he says, I stand with the Father. We never got to hear his judgment, right? I stand with the Father. So absolutely, very well put. And the more we grasp that, I think it makes it easier how this whole entire process worked, instead of just taking it for granted, because more and more preachers are teaching God had to come do it because we can't do it, and thank God he did it, and we're not expected to do it. And what do? We live irresponsibly and in disobedience. So that's why that message is so necessary. So thank you so much, brother, for even adding more explanation to that. Other questions? All right. Pray to God. Once again, check, study, and make sure you really check this, because this is your, the foundation you walk on. Faith is going to be, if you're a Christian or not, plain and simple. So if you are taking the counterfeit version of faith, you're setting yourself up. Now, we all have access to knowing when it's true faith or not. We have access to know. The problem is, are you going to allow emotion, tradition, how you see things to get in the way? All of that is doubt. All of that is doubt. If I just feel good about it, doubt. If I'm
I
going
have a
off of what some
question.
man said, yes, hey, sis.
My question is along that line, with the faith, though, with Jesus, it all still has to match God's will, right?
100%.
Okay. 100%.
100%. That's why sometimes the answer is going to be no. But me not asking is showing a lack of faith too. You know what I mean? So his will works is, I want you to ask. and expect me to say no sometimes and rejoice in that. Now I'm being obedient because I asked, and I'm being obedient because I'm accepting when he says no as well as when he says yes. So yes, his will
Because it is
is
a
according.
testing of my faith still, correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. If my faith is wrong, and this is why so many people, you hear them say some foolish things, and they'll say, "Hey, this and this is going to happen," and then watch how God works, or "Did you see God?" or "Look at God." We'll say it because it's based on our definition of what faith is, and that's why it lets so many people down. I've seen lives destroyed because of the wrong description of Christ and faith, and people are living by that, and then they're let down, and then finally they go, "You know what? I'm done." Why? Because God let them down as far as they're concerned, because they followed somebody. Now, the people who are teaching them wrong, I hope they repent. I really do. You understand? Because a lot of people are leading people in a faith that's not faith at all. So, yes, God's will. Absolutely, sis. Any other questions? All right.
I don't know
Yep, go ahead,
if
sis.
I, as a question, but when you're saying about full of faith in Christ, when someone is, you're looking at a person that seems to you is full of faith or a Christian, and they're a person that's going through a sickness, like they've and maybe in horrific pain all their life, and they are a person who even said they wouldn't give it up because if they had. They wouldn't give that up if it changed anything between them and Christ. So how does a like a Christian how would you help someone see or see yourself how that's faith in a sense of I think you mentioned in your talk that just now that they're going through this horrific thing and God hasn't changed them. They have all the faith in God like they're supposed to. And God has to change it. And I know it would be even harder for an unbeliever to understand that. So as a Christian, I guess we're just looking like you just said that it's not about seeing, it's about being having total faith.
Yeah. So, first of all, because one thing I'm going to make sure I make clear on this. You know how you say it, sometimes we see somebody that's totally full of faith. That's kind of flawed today because we don't have that today. I hate to say that. We're too involved with other stuff in our lives, but we think we are. Now, with that said, for somebody that does come as close as possible to doing what they're doing and it looks like nothing's working for them, and then even reverse, you got somebody that looked like they went to church once or twice and some miracle happened for them. All of that is sight. So it's not for me to try to explain it and force it on them. Okay. And that's where we fail because we try to, how can I get you to see it? How can I get you to see it? Remember, my job is to plant or water, and same thing with you guys, plant or water. God takes it from there. And it comes down to that person believing in God. And that's where he's going to keep guiding, even before they're Christians and even after they're Christians and have to grow. We sometimes get in the way and we get in the mood of, I'm going to explain it to give you intellectual understanding on it. And we really make people confused because they're still using their senses and all that other stuff. And that's why we then follow nonsense that we call faith in Christ. Okay. But in many cases, for us, we really, there's very few. And that's why we're in what's called terrible times and itching ear times. It's just non-existent. Do you know what I mean? It's just not as much. And this is why we don't see as much today, where a person is full of faith. There's going to be aspects in their life that's doubt. Okay, includes me. I mean, if anybody thinks, just as a pastor, I got to give the impression of being above reproach, but I still allow too many things in my life that is lessening my faith. You understand that? I know that. And it's unfortunate because we are all on that level, it's hard for us to truly encourage. So I got to make that clear. That's the first thing. That's why it's called terrible times. Right? Because even when it comes to God, we're going to places to say what I want to hear, not that. So I want to make sure that's clear. I don't think I've seen it yet. And I don't know if anybody here thinks they have. Usually they'll tell you a certain aspect of their life that you see that may look or give the impression, but you look at a big dump of their life and it's nothing but doubt. It cancels out that faith. So I think a lot of it, more of it is how you're putting it. A lot of it is, still within his will of it not happening until we really display the faith in it. Now, but with that said, like I said, there are going to be some times where the answer is no. And as a person goes in God's word, they'll be able to accept that outcome understanding, just like we've seen in James and things of that sort. But I still want to make sure we understand it so we don't twist it, because we've done that. There are a lot of people we call fully made of faith, and they're not. And we're following them instead of what God has given us, if that makes sense.
So when you say that, when you say you haven't seen it and they're fully not, there's not many that's fully of faith, what are you seeing? What backs up what you're saying? What are you seeing to explain that?
A lot more dependence on those things that hinder sanity. I see a lot more emotion. I see a lot more intellect. I see a lot and a whole lot more culture and ignorance.
Okay. So it's
What I'm
more or
saying?
less like every word, every action is all from Christ.
Right. That's
Okay.
when you'll see it. And you'll
Okay.
even hear those same people who think they're doing it go, well, nobody can do that. Well, I'm only human, but then try in the same breath, go, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Remember, who strengthens me? So what I'm showing is I allow him to strengthen me with this, and this, but my intellect strengthens me here, my emotion strengthens me here. I come from this group of people or this land or this country, and it strengthens me here. All of that's doubt. All of that is doubt. There are verses that we read and we get disappointed in and we ignore. That's doubt. That's
Right,
why there's
gotcha.
so much emphasis is put on on terrible times. I don't think we realize how bad this time is, because it's very hard for us to have and encourage one another because we're partial and
So
not.
it still kind of goes back to you looking at the physical when you're saying how bad it is and not looking totally at the spiritual.
Right. They'll be
Okay.
strong in an aspect and you want credit.
Say it again.
They'll be strong in part of it and you want the full credit.
Okay.
I only knew addition and subtraction, but I didn't know multiplication and division, and the test is going to have all of them. And I'm like, man, I'm an expert at addition and subtraction. Give me an A. He's like, but what messed up on these? So no, you're going to get a C or a D. And that's what we're doing. We want that credit for what we are doing, and we just hold on to what we're failing.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
A hard one for me because, one friend of mine, she's always, such, goes through so much pain and suffering, but she always believes that, that God is still in control of what she's going through and that he, but one thing I was wondering about how people say, what they're going through right now, they believe is maybe not for them, it's for somebody else. And other people have been encouraged by what they're going through because of their faith in God.
Yep, that's biblical. And that is, you know, in 1 Corinthians 7, where it says, he who was a slave becomes God's freedman. You see where I'm coming from? God's going to use you in that capacity of what you're going through. And just like you did with that person, there's no doubt in my mind, in their sickness themselves, they're probably as dedicated and reverent to God. But there's other aspects that if you got to be with them, you'd see other things that they're not. Does that make sense?
Like, for example.
So there was a person I knew who was going through a sickness, and they were really struggling through it. Okay, and nobody knows them here, so I can kind of put that out there. To the point of when we were going through God's word, they were picking and choosing. Now they were adamant on the stuff that they would do in God's word, but then they'd have other aspects that they wanted to hang on to with their relationship with God, but they were doing it their way. And what was hard is when you would see the stuff that they were going through, it made you feel real bad for them. It was like that, and all that is legitimate. And they would still give God the glory and they would still show joy. But there was a large chunk of the word that they were following tradition that they grew up in and not what the word was saying. Okay. Now, I might, if I didn't study with them, I probably wouldn't have seen that. Does that make sense? Yep. And you can, like I say, my wife. Would tell you, y'all. I bring it up when I'm driving and stuff like that. The thing I got with my brother, still certain things that I may still react to, that I can still be bothered. I have those moments where, so I know it's me when I'm still, I understand that. You know what I mean? And then it's hard to get 100% godly encouragement that we're supposed to get because we want to give worldly comfort. So it's just so many avenues of it. So there's no doubt. I know a lot of people that just go through a very heavy time. I'm going to use, and I hope I don't embarrass you, Sister Marva, the stuff that she goes through, and she still shows a lot of joy during the illness that she goes through. That part is no doubt. Okay. But there's other aspects you probably may see. You know, I'm not throwing any of that out there, but that can deaden it in other avenues and other ways. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying is or not, but I'm just saying that's the part we have to look at. And in doing that, that's when we can allow Ephesians 4 to explain what we should be doing, growing in the knowledge and the maturity and all of that. But we allow so many other distractions out here right now. There's a lot of stuff going on, and we're allowing it to have more say in our lives than Christ. It's a, what I'm just saying is a very complex thing. I've been doing studies on it when we spread it out. And I know, so if y'all want to talk about it more, please talk about it more. Hopefully you're on that same pastors saying a bunch of nonsense, because it's going to sound like nonsense. But and it was hard for me to receive when the Bible's telling me this. You know what I mean? When you and it's clear in the Bible, and we're doing it in different studies. And if you didn't really pay attention to things that we can sound teaching, go back to that. And you'll see we all kind of fall in somewhere more than being just spiritual. That's the part that's disturbing.
Yep, or it's true.
Not saying those people are not Christian. It's just less mature. You know, a lot of other avenues that affect, hard to encourage. And so things like that. Now, it's not to let anybody down, because the Bible called it terrible times. The Bible said it was going to be itching ears. It's just for you to be aware of it. And really, and we have the strength for us to more and more get our acts together. But it's a process.
Okay, thank you.
All right, brothers and sisters, we're going to go ahead and pray out. And I know you're probably going to have questions on what we just said. So hopefully you ask them and keep asking them so we can figure it out. Make me show you in the word what I'm talking about. And then you could check your own life and go from there. But I think it's important that we do get this information. So we'll go ahead and pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, thank you so much, dear Lord, for this opportunity to come together in your name. We thank you so much for your word, for your truth. We thank you for your spirit, your mercy, and your grace. We know with all things that are going on, it's very easy for us to be distracted with how we feel and what we think we know and what we've been through and where we've come from, not realizing it's all based on you. Are we fully living for every decision to please you? Help us, dear Lord, so we can truly encourage one another with our lives, as well as be available to only give you when somebody's going through something. We love you so much, dear Lord, and we want to show that through our lives and not just in word, and show it based on your word, which is truth, dear Lord. So let us do that with one another. Let us do that in every aspect of our walk. Let us look at everything through the spiritual eyes of faith. As we're going through your instruction and your guidance and your description of faith, help us to lean upon that, dear God, and to continue to grow, even though we're surrounded by this time, which you told us was going to come, in order that we may grow as much as possible in order to do your work in this little bit of time. We thank you so much, dear Lord, for all that you've done and all these blessings we asked in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say. Love you,
Amen.
family.
Love you too. Amen. Thank you.
Yep, good
Enjoy
night.
your spending night.